Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Evidently, America needs to brush their teeth. All the more reason to make Vermin supreme president.
I was just going to say that. That was his message to the world. And, we've lost him for another 4 years.
Well, not necessarily. The election hasn't happened yet. I would just like to remind people that Vermin supreme has wanted to mandate brushing your teeth as part of his campaign for quite a long time. And according to this new study, brushing your teeth, in particular using mouthwash, inactivates coronaviruses in humans.
Inactivates it?
Yes.
Okay.
So the virus still exists, but it's like inactive, I guess.
And now, are any particular mouthwash? We're talking about the stuff with alcohol in it and the like Listerine, the stuff that burns. It kind of makes sense. If you basically use the stuff to clean your toilets, right?
It's almost like Trump may have had a point when he was talking about disinfectants.
Well, now, where did I hear? I could have sworn I heard that mouthwash is actually not good for you to use. Have you guys heard that?
Yeah, something about it kills
off too much.
It kills beneficial bacteria in your mouth. And so the bad bacteria can actually take over.
Ooh, that's no good.
I haven't used the stuff in years.
Yeah,
I'm just a baking soda kind of guy.
Well, that's because you don't care about people, Conan.
I know.
You want them to get COVID-19, clearly.
It's time to say no to wasting time on useless things that do not bring you anything but short-term pleasure. It's time to say yes to a life of productivity that will bring you a better health, wealth, and more inner satisfaction. So we'll start by listing the following 7 productivity lessons from the most well-known philosophers in history. These lessons have helped me a lot, says the author, and I hope they'll do the same for you. So, number 1. From Socrates, don't try to do more. The quote from Socrates is, "Beware the barrenness of a busy life," unquote.
I don't know if I can necessarily agree with that. I mean, I'm sure the author here is going to make more points, but...
Yeah, there's a little bit more here.
A busy life is a productive life in most cases.
Not necessarily. It's if you're not actually finishing your projects, if you've got 100 projects on your platter,
right.
You're working a little bit on each one, and you're not actually finishing them. I could see how
that's
but
where
they're still
going.
Being productive.
But if you're not finishing the product, then it's not producing anything. Ultimately, you're just doing a lot
okay.
on a little, or a little Fair. On a lot, or whatever, and you're never getting there. And that's where he's going with this. Here, he says, "Well, who else could give this monumental piece of advice other than Socrates, the founder of Western philosophy? Realized that it's easy to fill your life with meaningless tasks. But what happens when you do that?" The busyness leads to unproductiveness. You end up doing many things in a mediocre way. Instead, focus your time and energy on a few important things. These aren't new ideas. They're great information that not enough people really understand.
Yeah. Most people do. They get home from work and they spend 5 hours watching television, accomplishing absolutely nothing. I think the average American watches like 35 hours of television a week.
Is that true? Are you factoring in YouTube there now? Because that's taken away a lot of traditional TV watching, online Hulus, YouTubes.
If I was like doing the tracking, I would include YouTube and all of that watching television.
And gaming?
And are you talking pre-COVID or are you talking during COVID?
Oh, I imagine the numbers are up.
Right.
It's got to be. And drinking.
The drinking numbers are up too? Yeah, probably.
Drinking doesn't necessarily prevent a person from being productive, though. I do some of my most productive things at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm drunk. I'm not even kidding.
And that's what the pothead says too. He says, this isn't
You're talking to someone who drinks a lot of wine and who smokes a lot of pot, and both of us are pretty productive.
Pretty productive. Yeah, it's true. I get things done at nighttime because no one's bothering
yes.
me. But on the other hand, I also get more stuff done if I can get up in the morning. So it's like I'm torn. I feel bad when I don't get up in the morning, but
I used to, but now I wake up at like 2 p.m. and I'm good with that because I know that, I was up until 7 o'clock actually
doing stuff. This is really actually an important thing, is to actually have goals for your life. And, it's nice to say universal peace or self-improvement and joyfulness, but you should have something you want to accomplish in your life. Otherwise, why are you here? Is it just to suck air and, guzzle alcohol or whatever it is that, you're busying yourself with every single day? So figure out what you want to do. Have some inspiration. At some point, most people come up with some inspiration, a thing that they want to accomplish, a goal they want to achieve. And if you haven't done that yet, then you can't really have 3 to 4 important tasks each day if you don't know where you're going. So in order to come up with 3 to 4 tasks, you have to have the end goal in mind, whether it's getting some fancy new car or a new house or meeting, you know, the love of your life or starting a business or whatever it is that is attractive to you, the thing that inside of you, you know, is something that, you know, you want to accomplish.
I agree. And I think, you know, most people will just take, you know, the default socially correct answer. Oh, well, I want to have a house and a spouse and kids and all of that. I would urge people to actually put time and energy into considering what it is they want out of life, because not everybody is going to want that.
That's right.
And I'm glad that I sat down in my early 20s to determine what I did want out of life. And it did not include a family and children.
You need to be inspired to do something with your life. So you set that long distance goal of whatever it is, right? You want to have your own business, you want to have a house, you want to have whatever. And then you figure out what are the steps that you have to take, what are the little goals that you have to reach in order to get the end goal. I mean, this sounds basic, right? Yeah. But there are not a lot of people who actually take the time to do this. There aren't a lot of people who actually take the time to write down the things that they want to accomplish and literally write down what it's going to take to get there. Maybe you've got it up in your head somewhere, but it actually helps to write it out.
Interesting. I've never written it out. You know, I just keep it all here in my head. Never actually bothered to write it out. But it's important to note that when you do, I mean, you're exactly right. When you do have this great big thing you want to accomplish, you have to break that down into accomplishable steps, because you don't set out with the goal of, okay, I want to write a book and that's what I'm going to do. You have to set yourself, you have to break that into smaller chunks. You're not writing a book at any given moment. You're putting words on a page. So start with like 1 page a day or 3 pages a day or whatever you can actually manage to accomplish, and work toward that goal by doing that.
So this is important to do. Now, if you've got a mind like a steel trap, Aria, and you can just remember everything, then that's awesome. I would never tell somebody what to do with their life, but if you don't have, you know, an ultimate goal that you want to accomplish, then, or you don't have some sort of vision beyond, if all you want to do is just have a house and a family, is that it? I mean, isn't that it?
Think,
and why do you
I
want
think
that?
There are a lot of people out there that's exactly what they get up in the morning for.
I don't think it is, and I think that's why everyone on the planet is miserable. They just assume that that's what they want, and so that's what they do, because that's what their parents did, and that's what their parents did, and that's just what society is supposed to do. You're supposed to get a house, and you're supposed to have kids, so they do it without ever giving it any consideration whether that's actually what they want.
And meanwhile, they spend all of their free time watching TV, watching YouTube of people who they admire, people who are getting it done, and they sit there and they just dream about, that could be me.
Well, that suggests that the person may want to accomplish something else, but maybe doesn't know how or whatever. They want something bigger in their life, but they feel like they can't do it. And of course, if all you're doing is watching television, then you're never going to get any of those things done. Whatever hours you have outside of your job are those hours that you can use to build your business or your dream. And that's what you should be doing with that time. I don't blame somebody for wanting to, you know, blow off some steam and kick back. And I mean, we all need leisure time, right? No, we're all work and no play.
I am finally watching a horror movie tonight.
Night. Which one?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I'm going to be surprised by it, but I mean,
just randomly pick one?
Probably.
Okay.
Television is the ultimate destroyer of productivity.
Sure is.
I joked during the last segment that I hate my job. That's not true. I actually quite like
you
the job.
You seem to like it.
Yeah. I find it enjoyable.
I mean, there's always going to be...
It's a good way of escaping from, you know, the sheriff campaign and the other nonsense perpetually going on in my life, because I get there and all I have to do is focus on work.
You just do those tasks and
work
then
is how I escape from reality.
And you know what? That's fine. That's how I escaped from, you know, when I was in jail for civil disobedience. I worked in the jail kitchen for 8 hours a day. Made it go by a lot quicker.
I'm sure it did.
So it was fun. Like, I'm not a kitchen experienced person, but I can wash dishes and I can learn things, right? So there was one day that I was flipping, like, you know, dozens of egg sandwiches all at the same on the big, you know, griddle or whatever. So number 4, eliminate distractions. This is Marcus Aurelius. Quote, if you seek tranquility, do less. Or, more accurately, do what's essential. Do less better. Because most of what we do or say is not essential. If you can eliminate it, you'll have more tranquility, unquote. Elimination is a key strategy for every productive person. You shouldn't only eliminate non-essential tasks, but everything that distracts you. The more you eliminate, the more focus and tranquility you have. Look at yourself as a sculptor. You've been given a massive stone. Your task is to eliminate so much until you end up with a perfect piece of art. Is social media polluting your soul? Eliminate it. There's this idea out there that because you're born into this group of strangers that you owe them something. You know, like the uncle that is going to just bleed your bank account dry because he wants to sleep on your couch, you know, for the next 6 months or whatever. I mean, I'm just picking something out that sure. I remember from a friend of mine in the past. There's these certain people that will try to take advantage of you because, oh, well, you're family. Now, you should let me take advantage of you. I'm your cousin. Or whatever. Well, if you're not actually providing, you know, if you're not like a total cripple and you know, you can actually work for yourself, there's no reason why you need to be on the couch all day, then you need to get out if you're not going to do something. So,
yeah, I don't think a lot of people are going to get on that one.
No, you got to clean up your relationships.
But you're absolutely right. Yep. It's that, you know, it's not just your neighbor, it's not just your coworker, it's your blood.
Yep.
Your blood could be cancerous and poisonous to your life. And, you know, if you continue,
you don't owe them.
If you can, well, that's where you're going to have the argument with people who are going to disagree with you. That somehow blood does owe each other.
I don't owe them a damn thing on some level.
Well, hey, then you spend all your time trying to make your blood happy.
There you go.
You know, and that's going to make you that much less productive. Number five, keep your ego in check. This is a quote from Plutarch. Quote: neither blame or praise yourself. Said Plutarch. Now, that's kind of interesting. As the famous Roman biographer Plutarch realized, the ego loves praise but also blame. These aren't common sense ideas. By definition, they're not common.
Well, right? They should be.
They seem
the problem
like
is people are stupid, so they're not common.
I would like to say they're ignorant. I don't like to say that people are stupid. I mean, these things do have to be taught. You know, by default, people seek pleasure and they want to avoid pain, but they're not so good at figuring out that doing certain things now could give them more pleasure in the long run. You know, they see the immediacy.
Humans are very short-sighted.
Yes.
Increasingly, because they're not being taught that, you know, it pays off to invest in something, to invest time and energy into learning a skill so that you can be happier later.
And let us remember that there are a lot of very powerful people out there, and I'm not just talking about the technocrats out there, but I'm talking about businesses and whatnot. They don't want this type of knowledge out there.
No,
they don't want you working for yourself. They don't want you making your own, growing your own food. They want you going to their stores. They want you, you know, using their product because it makes them money and it gives them power. So, I mean, this is not knowledge that you would actually, that they would want out there. This is not something you're going to find taught in schools unless it's, you know, buried in a text somewhere with, you know, a dusty text.
Well, I can be more productive by buying their products instead of growing the food myself.
This is true. You have to decide, and this is where I, you know, am constantly questioning what I do as the frugalist that I am, is, you know, what I actually, this is why I time everything. This is why I count pennies.
Keep moving forward. Quote from Confucius. He said, quote, "It does not matter how slowly you go as long as you do not stop." Unquote. One unproductive day can destroy your whole momentum, and it can set you back months. Never underestimate how difficult it is to live a productive life, and realize that most people in your environment will not understand you. What does one more drink hurt? Well, could be a lot. Even when you're resting, do something little that brings you closer to your goals. Read a book, go to the gym, write in your journal. No matter how small your effort, keep moving and stop for nothing.
I can't agree with that. Even when you're resting, do something little that brings you closer to your goals. I mean, you have to take time to actually just rest.
I agree with that.
You have to put everything down and just relax occasionally.
Although,
I'm intending to do that later tonight.
Or you'll burn out.
Yeah. And that's the old rule of all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. It's there's nothing wrong with taking a day, right?
Sure.
And I don't agree with them that one day of, you know, lack of productivity is going to set you back months. That's ridiculous.
And this is his interpretation of that quote as well,
correct?
Right?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So he's decided that is not a good thing to do. But
I did the same thing this weekend. I took a whole day out, you know, basically for myself and didn't get any of my goals completed. But that's okay because, you know, the other 29 or 30 days this month, I will be doing things. And so you just have to have the perspective on You know, when is it okay to just take a break?
I just wanted to mention a piece of news I think is important. I usually keep track of what the government spending, the GNP ratio is. And right now it's at an all-time high of over 50%, meaning the government's spending half of everything that's produced in the reported economy. Right now, the U.S. government.
Well, that doesn't include the government deficit, which is, I believe, or the debt. I believe the government debt is now greater than, or is expected to be shortly, greater than the entire GDP of the United States.
Yeah, it's like 120-some right now. If you go to usdebtclock.org, it has a lot of information there.
Yep. Yeah, that website is terrifying, too, for anyone who understands anything about what those numbers are.
Yeah. And I'm just surprised that this is not reported in the news. Everybody wants some free stuff, I guess, but they don't want the bill's going to be coming for all this free stuff.
Well, some of this is being reported. I mean, we've talked about it here on Free Talk Live, and it's been in the mainstream media, but the average person doesn't pay attention to this stuff. From what I haven't read the Banking for All details, but the proposals for the central bank digital currencies, as they're being called, CBDCs, basically, it almost sounds like it would eliminate the banks because everyone would have an account directly with the Federal Reserve.
And the question is, why aren't all the big banks? Why isn't Chase and all these others coming out in opposition to this? Why aren't we seeing any backflack?
I'm sure they will.
Unless they know that
the act has no chance of passing.
That there is that possibility, mm-hmm. or the banks know that they're going to somehow win with this. Because this is part of the Banking for All is to make all of the banks basically accept this and use this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big problem. Oh, and by the way, the post office is part of it too. We're gonna become the hubs where people come and get their wallets, their digital wallets.
In case you needed longer lines.
Yeah, this has terrible idea written all over it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, what do you do when the deficit is where it's at? I mean, what do you do when they can't really print money? Well, it really boils down to the interest rate. You can't go below zero. So,
I think they can, actually. Didn't the price of oil go below zero at one point, and they were actually paying people to take oil off their hands?
Yeah,
earlier
wasn't
this year?
I thought that was because they had ships just out there floating around in the sea in the Gulf.
Anything worth doing is worth doing badly.
No,
says a different opinion. I mean,
she's going to have to be really persuasive on this one because initially I'm bristling at that statement.
Yeah, I am too, man. One of my favorite quotes is...
Who is this?
This is coming to us from Commie Ostman, and she's quoting G.K. Chesterton, who said, "Anything worth doing is worth doing badly." He was a Christian philosopher who argued that most of what must be done to make the world go round is done by the average Joe who does not do it perfectly or sometimes even well. Well, that's true, and that's why the world is falling apart at the seams, I would suggest. If you're happy with the state of the world, then sure, continue half-assing everything.
Hmm.
But I can't imagine too many people are happy. For reasons that may be obvious to those who know me, I love this sentiment. Like many of you, I exited my childhood as a perfectionist, afraid of making mistakes and determined to do everything I undertook as flawlessly as I could.
Okay, well, that's your problem right there.
It's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah, and it's okay to not do something perfectly. But to say that it's okay to do something badly as though you should just accept failure, because bad suggests you haven't even done an average job, right? Like you're doing a piss poor job. That's different than saying, oh, I haven't gotten to perfection yet, so I need to keep going forever until I get to perfection. You'll never get there.
And are you depressed and maybe you don't want to start running marathons to handle your depression? Maybe you don't find running to be effective. Maybe you don't find, you know, watching television to be effective. Well, don't worry. We have the solution for you. Just put some lithium in your drinking water.
Oh, yeah. This article coming from Vice.com. A new study published in the British Journal of Psychiatry finds a link between lithium in drinking water and lower suicide levels. Maybe they had...
So people are so miserable that they're killing themselves, and instead of offering ways they may fix the circumstances of their lives, we're like, hey, we'll just drug you with some lithium.
Correct. Instead of looking for proper solutions, actually finding out why you are suicidal, they're just going to cover it up with a Band-Aid called lithium. Maybe they had the right idea putting lithium in 7-Up when it was first sold in 1929.
Really?
I was not aware of this, but according to this article and according to the wiki, that's what it originally had in it. And by the way, Coca-Cola had Coke in it.
Yes, it did. Yeah. Everyone knows that, right?
Yeah.
I've always heard that. I don't know if it's true.
It's true.
It's true.
Nice.
Because in an era of rising suicide rates, especially among young people, a new study from the Brighton and Sussex Medical School, published in the British Journal of Psychiatry, has found a strong link between geographical areas with high levels of lithium in public drinking water and lower suicide rates. Deliberately lacing the water supply with a mind-altering chemical in some zones might seem like something out of a science fiction novel.
Well, it sounds like something out of a prison sentence at the very least.
But the authors of the report...
That can't possibly be legal.
Not yet.
Okay. So good. It probably is illegal for them to put mind-altering substances in the drinking water.
Well, we live in a democracy, so if enough people vote that they want to put lithium in the water...
It'll happen.
It'll happen. Or if enough... You know, well, if the Gates of the world, who can sway whole governments to, I don't know, say, vaccine whole populations... I'm going to say that it's going to be governor who is Gretchen
Whitmer.
Whitmer,
that's the Michigan one, right?
Yeah, I mean, if every one of our governors is like that lady, you better believe we'd be putting lithium in the water pretty soon to combat all of the problems. It's a Band-Aid solution.
First, the government uses the pandemic to create a lot of depression, and then they use the depression as an excuse to feed everyone lithium.
Yeah.
You might be on something.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Just put shrooms in the drinking water.
Well,
everyone will have a really good time.
I don't know that we will have a good time. Who happens to really enjoy the shrooms.
As do I.
Me too.
I'm not. I can't say that it's a recreational hobby.
No, it's not.
It's very hard.
Safer of the available options.
Yes, so. But it's also not okay to like dose people.
No,
things
absolutely.
That they haven't consented to.
Yes, I'm obviously.
You might actually
about
cause. You might
to
cause someone to suicide if they just
If they don't know what's going on.
Had some tap water in the morning, and then it's 9 o'clock, and they're at work, and all of a sudden the walls start breathing. That might cause someone to maybe want to jump out a window or something.
I've done similar things on accident because there's this liquid stuff that you can get that is just psilocybin concentrate, and I would add it to my lemonades. And I had a refrigerator full of lemonades.
Just small doses?
No, usually like
half
a dose of
shrooms. Much as you want.
Yeah. But I lost track of which bottle had the shrooms in it. And that was an interesting night at work.
Oh, my.
I can imagine.
How is making pizzas while on shrooms?
No one knew.
The reason why the MDMA or shrooms therapy is effective for people, I think, is because you're going along with a therapist, right? It's not like you just... take some shrooms and, well, my depression's cured. You have to be able to find the root of that depression. And
sure.
And having those drugs can help somebody open up in ways, especially MDMA, for instance, can open up to a therapist about things that maybe they wouldn't have wanted to talk about before. It allows connections to be made that maybe wouldn't have otherwise been made and can allow somebody to sort of root out their own whatever the causes are of these problems.
I see the benefit of having a therapist along, but the self-reflection can be done without the...
No doubt.
This could be really dangerous, too. I mean, just keep in mind...
Yes, if you've never tripped before...
Well, MK Ultra, they were dosing their patients with LSD and suggesting they do things, and suggesting they learn and change their whole cerebral makeup. So it could actually be in, you could cure somebody, Ian, but I think you could also create
cause
monsters.
A problem. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Yeah, but MK Ultra, they didn't just like, hey, here's two hits of acid. I want you to go kill Vladimir Putin. They didn't do that.
Yeah,
it was
a process.
And they subjected them to torture, and they didn't tell them they were dosing them with LSD. They just kept doing it day after day after day after day. I mean, if you do enough LSD, you're gonna go nuts eventually. So Canada has a suggestion for people who are engaging in sexual activity, it would seem. Now, New York City and New York State have also made bizarre suggestions about how to engage in sexual activity amidst the pandemic. Yes, I think it was some health department for the state of New York suggested using barriers between the participants.
In sex barriers? What does that mean? Like a plastic sheet?
No.
Like glory holes?
Exactly. I was trying to avoid saying that.
Well, we can't say that on the radio?
You can say that because it doesn't describe what's going on. So you just can't be explicit. And
that was the recommendation from at least one actual government office in the state of New York. And I think it's been elsewhere as well. I don't think it was just New York.
I think it has been in other publications. Which is insane.
But people, I don't even know how to respond to that.
People actually think this stuff. As long as you don't look someone in the eye, you're safe from the COVID.
Well, you certainly won't catch COVID by using a glory hole. You'll catch all kinds of other crap that you don't want, but not COVID.
I don't know.
I mean, are you going to catch other things from the glory hole? Like, how does that work? I mean, without getting too explicit.
Well, there's generally,
unless you've got like an open sore.
Well, generally, with you know the glory hole, the point is anonymity. Yeah, you know.
Teresa Tam, the public health officer, issued a public statement last month on staying safe from the virus when engaging in sexual activities. She said, "Sexual health is an important part of our overall health. However, sex can be complicated in the time of COVID-19. The lowest risk sexual activity during COVID-19 involves yourself alone." So,
socializing with people is critical for our mental health. But she's advocating social distancing?
She's advocating you stay and basically touch yourself and no one else.
Oh.
But if you're going to have sex with people, she suggests a number of steps to reduce the risk, including avoiding face-to-face contact or closeness, specifically saying to skip kissing. Just skip that whole part. You know, one of the most important aspects of foreplay.
Yeah.
Just skip that part, she says.
And that's usually what leads
to the rest of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Just forget that part. Consider using a mask.
I can appreciate taking the expedient approach on occasion, but to just like have to, which is diving straight into it every single time. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And consider using a mask during your sexual encounter.
I'm not sleeping with anyone wearing a mask.
That only makes too much sense.
Just can't even imagine.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.